So I think it's 1935, let's still dates go back to 1936. Oh, 36, 1936 already. That's March 1st, 1936. Today, during Holy Mass, I experience a strange force, an urge to start realizing God's wishes. I had such a clear understanding of the things that the Lord was asking of me, that truly, if I were to say that I do not understand what God is demanding from me, I would be lying, because the Lord is speaking His will, known to me so clearly and distinctly that I do not have the least shadow of doubt about them. I realized that it would be the greatest ingratitude to delay any longer this undertaking which the Lord wishes to bring to fulfillment of His glory and the benefits of great number of souls. And He is using me as a miserable tool through which to realize His eternal plan of mercy. Truly, how ungrateful my soul would be to resist God's will any longer. Nothing will stop me any longer, be it persecution, sufferings, sneers, threats, entreaties, hunger, cold, flattery, friendship, adversities, friends or enemies. Be it things I am experiencing now or things that will come in the future or even the hatred of hell, nothing will deter me from doing the will of God, spreading this good news of the divine mercy she's mentioning, no? She's postponing, maybe also so many objections from the outside. So I'm not counting on my own strength, that's great, yeah? But on His omnipotence, for as He gave me the grace of knowing His holy will. His will also grants me the grace of fulfilling it. I cannot fail to mention how much my own lower nature resists this thing, manifesting its own desires, and there results within my soul a great struggle, like that of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Let me say, if the outside world is not positive, then she is hesitate. Even her superior, even the bishop himself, not really agreeing what exactly, you know. It's something new, you know. And so I cried out to God, the Eternal Father, if it is possible, take things, put these cups from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. May your will be done. So let us have the same sentiment towards the Lord. Whenever something is difficult, have this prayer to say, Lord, let this cup away, but not my will, your will be done. What I'm about to go through is no secret to me, but with full knowledge of I accept whatever you send me, O Lord. I trust in you, O merciful God, and I wish to be first to manifest to you that confidence which you demand of souls. O eternal truth, help me and enlighten me along the roadways of life, and grant that your will be accomplished in me. My God, I desire nothing but the fulfillment of your will. It does not matter whether it will be easy or difficult. I feel an extraordinary force driving me to action. One thing alone holds me back, and that is holy obedience. Oh my Jesus, you urge me on one hand and hold back and restrain me on the other. It's always like this, huh? Especially for a religious person. You have this idea, it's coming from God, but then superior say, no. Well, for our situation is the bishop, no? We might have some kind of beautiful thoughts, inspirations, and then a bishop, a superior. No. It's too difficult. She's asking, oh Jesus, both of your will. On one hand, you give me so much inspiration, On the other hand, my superior said, no. What is the will? You watch me on one hand and hold me back and restrain me on the other. In these two, oh my Jesus, may your holy will be done. So don't know what to go, where to go. Two ways. I continue in this state without a break for many days. My physical strength declined. And though I did not speak to anyone about it, nevertheless, Mother Superior, Mother Borgia, noticed my pain. I remarked that I had changed in appearance and was very pale. She told me to go to bed earlier and to sleep longer. And she had a cup of hot milk brought to me in the evening. She had a motherly love, motherly heart, full of care, and tried to help me. But in the case of spiritual sufferings, external things have no influence, and they do not bring much relief. It was from the confessional that I drew my strength, and the consolation of knowing that it would not be long before I could begin to act. On Thursday, when I went to my cell, I saw for me the secret holes in great brightness. There I heard a voice that seemed to be coming from above the holes. In the holes is your power. It will defend you. So, the Blessed Sacrament. We are so lucky to have Jesus with us. After these words, the vision disappeared, but a strange power enters my soul, and a strange light as to what our love for God consists in, namely, in doing His will. Still have to struggle. Oh, Holy Trinity, Eternal God, I want to shine in the crown of your mercy as a tiny gem whose beauty depends on the ray of your light and of your inscrutable mercy. And that is beautiful in my soul is yours, O God. Of myself, I'm ever nothing. At the beginning of Lent, I asked my confessor for some mortification for this time of fast. I was told not to cut down on my food, but while eating, to meditate on how the Lord Jesus on the cross accepted vinegar and gall. This would be my mortification. I didn't know that this would be so beneficial to my soul. The benefit is that I'm meditating constantly on His sorrowful passion, and so while I'm eating, I'm not preoccupied with what I'm eating, but I'm reflecting on my Lord's death. At the beginning of Lent, I also asked to have the subject of my particular examine changed, and I was told to do everything with the pure intention of reparation for poor sinner. This keeps me in continual union with God, and this intention perfects my actions, because everything I do is done for the mortal souls. All hardships and fatigue are as nothing when I think that they reconcile sinful souls with God. So whatever she done is for the sake of the sinners. Offer. We can participate in certain sense, no? When times you feel bored, difficult, misunderstood, offer this to Jesus for sinners. No? Mary is my instructress, who is ever teaching me how to live for God. My spirit brightens up in your gentleness and your humility. Oh, Mary. On one occasion, when I dropped by the chapel for a 5-minute adoration and was praying for a certain soul, I came to understand that God does not always accept our petitions for the souls we have in mind, but directs these to other souls. Interesting. You pray for A, but then Jesus directs your intentions to B. Hence, although we do not relieve the souls we intend to relieve in their purgatorial suffering, still our prayer is not lost. Praying for souls in purgatory. In the intimate communion of a soul with God, God approaches a soul in a special way, known only to him, to himself and to the soul. No one perceives this mysterious union, nor precise in this union, and everything is achieved by love alone. Jesus gives himself to the souls in a gentle and sweet manner, and in his death, in his deaths, there is peace. He grants the souls many graces and makes it capable of sharing his eternal thoughts. And frequently, he reveals to it his divine plans. Father Andres told me that it would be a good thing to have in God's church a group of souls who would beg for his mercy, because in fact, we are all in need of that mercy. After these words, an extraordinary light filled my soul. Oh, how good is the Lord. March 18, 1936. Once I asked the Lord Jesus to take the first step by bringing about some change or some external event, or by letting them expel me, as I found it impossible to leave the congregation on my own initiative. So she is struggling whether she would start a new congregation. She wants the superior kick her out from the convent, then she can start a new one. She found no reason to leave. She doesn't know what, as if the will of God, Jesus, as if he got the idea that to start a new congregation. And the other day we were meditating how she planned the future rules, how to become a superior, in her mind is still struggling. And I was in anger over these for more than 3 hours. I could not pray, but kept submitting my will to the will of God. So even though she doesn't know what to do for 3 hours, but still all the time, pandering to the Lord. Your will be done, your will be done. At times, when we have final solution, the only way we can say, Jesus, I trust in you, Jesus, I trust in you. No, not all the time you've got the answer. Direct, you know. The next morning, Mother Superior told me that Mother General was transferring me to Warsaw. I answered Mother, and perhaps I should not go, but leave the congregation directly from here. So don't change me. I better leave this house. Finish. Don't send me to another house. As if he's telling me, I don't believe anymore to this house, to this congregation. I regard this as to be an external sign for which I had been asking God. So she could take this as a sign from God that she had to leave now. More right moment to leave the congregation. Mother Superior made no reply. But after some time, she called me again and said, "You know what, sister? Go anyway, and don't worry about wasting a trip, even if you should return immediately." I understand. I answered, "All right, I will go." Although the heart was seized with pain, because I knew that by this trip, this matter would be denied. Start new congregation. However, I try always to be obedient despite everything. In the evening, when I was praying, the Mother of God told me, "Your lives must be like mine, quiet, and hidden, in unceasing union with God, pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. Mother Mary, talk to her. Your lives must be like mine, like Heavenly Mother, quiet and hidden. So you too, nobody knows you in this area, quiet and hidden. So you're more like Heavenly Mother, eh? Your life, nobody knows. In a ceasing union with God, try to do that. Pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. You be a missionary in a house without a pure external sign that you are Sister Faustina. You share her vision. Huh? In the evening during benediction, my soul was for some time in communion with God the Father. I felt I was in His hand, like a little child, and I heard these words in my soul: "Do not fear anything, my daughter. All the adversaries will be shattered at my feet." At these words, a deep peace and a great interior calm entered my soul. When you are disturbed, come to Jesus. Rest in His love, not looking for consolation, calling 100 people to give you all what I have to do. When I complained to the Lord that He was picking my head away and that I would be alone again and would not know what to do, I heard these words: "Do not be afraid, I'm always with you." After these words, a deep peace once again entered my soul. His presence penetrated me completely in a way that could be sensed. My spirit was flooded with light and my body participated in this as well. On the evening of the last day before my departure from Vilnius, an elderly sister revealed the condition of her soul to me, my confession. She said that she had already been suffering interiorly for several years, that it seemed to her that all her confessions had been bad, and that she had doubts as to whether the Lord Jesus had forgiven her. I asked her if she had ever told her confessor about this. She answered that she had spoken many times before this to her confessors, and the confessors are always telling me to be at peace, but still I suffer very much and nothing brings me relief, and it constantly seems to me that God has not forgiven me. I answered, "You should obey your confessor and be fully at peace, but because this is certainly a temptation." Sometimes we say, we might doubt whether we say some words, think something, we don't know what, not clean, not clear in the confessions, you know, sudden like to disturb our peace. When you are disturbed, so you have no kind of intention to pray hard, no? You want to solve your problem first, and you don't feel good at heart. And all these things distract you for prayer. Well, anyway, when we just follow Jesus, always there. No excuse, or if more for the religious person. But she entreated me with tears her eyes to ask Jesus if he had forgiven her and whether her confessions had been good for or not. I answered forcefully, "Ask him yourself, sister, if you don't believe your confessors." But she clutched my hands and did not want to let me go until I gave her an answer. And she kept asking me to pray for her and to let her know what Jesus would tell me about her. Crying bitterly, she would not let me go, and said to me, "I know that the Lord Jesus speaks to you, sister." Seeing she was clutching my hands and I could not wrench myself away, I promised her I would pray for her. In the evening, during benediction, I heard these words in my soul: "Tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins she committed. Doubt of the mercy of Jesus hurt Jesus more than her sin. She was worrying whether her sins are forgiven. When she doubt about the mercy of God, already hurts Jesus more than the sin itself." Do you have this simplicity? Trust. Learn to be simple. Huh? This is love, the simplicity. Simple heart. Because Jesus is simple. Jesus is not complicated. Jesus is pure love. No complication. No other thoughts. Just pure. Love you and love you. And the what? Yes. Why? No. Yeah. Yeah, times. Yeah, sometimes. No. Sometimes. So look at the host and tell Jesus, "I trust you." When I told her this, she began to cry like a child, and great joy entered her soul. I understood that God wanted to console this soul through me. Even though it cost me a great deal, I fulfilled God's wish. When I entered the chapel for a moment that same evening to thank God for all the graces he had bestowed on me in this house, suddenly God's presence enveloped me. I felt like a child in the hands of the best of fathers, and I heard these words: "Do not fear anything. I am always with you." So this word comes so many times: don't be afraid. Even by the time the disciples following Jesus, no, on the boat, rough sea, nothing to eat, nothing, don't know what to do, don't be afraid. So, "Do not fear anything, I'm always with you." His love penetrates my whole being. I felt I was entering into such close intimacy with him that I cannot find words to express it. Something from the interior, not the words can express this kind of peace. Stay some more time before you go back to your work. Come to the chapel, not strictly from the rooms and go home or hang around. Come to Jesus, stay with him. That's where we are peace from, nothing else. Then I saw one of the seven spirits near me, radiant as other times, under a form of light. I don't know this good spirit or bad spirit, I don't know why. I constantly saw him beside me when I was riding on the train. I saw an angel standing on every church we passed, but surrounded by light, who was paler than that of the spirit who was accompanying me on the journey. And each of these spirits who were guarding the church bowed his head to the spirit who was near me. All the spirits, I think the guardian angel, she said she felt the guardian angel with me, and then all the churches passing on the train, she saw the angels in each church bow to her angel. her angel is really strong. Eh? When I entered the convent gate at Warsaw, the spirit disappeared. The angel. Eh? I thank God for his goodness that he gave me angels for companions. Oh, how little people reflect on the fact that they always have besides them such a guest, and at the same time a witness to everything. Remember, sinners, that you likewise have a witness to all your deeds. So she has that guardian angel, you too. He witnesses everything what you're doing, even little things gossiping. He knows. Your guardian angel knows you, what you're doing, and giving the record. And when one day you go to Jesus and the guardian angel at the back, this is your result. So many cross. Funny, if you know that somebody is watching you, you are restrained a little bit more reserved. And maybe nobody knows you, sees you, but your guardian angel is with you. No. Oh my Jesus, your goodness surpasses all understanding, and no one will exhaust your mercy. Damnation is for the soul who want to be damned. But for the one who desires salvation, there is the inexhaustible ocean of the Lord's mercy to draw from. How can a small vessel contain an unfathomable ocean? Too much love for us, ready. So only those people choose hell to go to hell. The Lord's mercy is always ready. This is the message from Faustina today. So don't doubt. It's always grace. Okay, today, I hope that this evening you can join with us the celebration of the Divine Mercy. We're 2:30. We will start reciting the Holy Rosaries. I will, the one who lead in both languages, first Cantonese and then English, Cantonese. Unfortunately, I can't follow the color. Otherwise, we can have four: Mandarin, Cantonese, and English, and Tagalog. But next time I learn the Hail Mary in Tagalog, then next year, I can lead the Our Father in the Rosary, you know, and the Hail Mary. Only half. So I can learn half only, and the rest you follow. And then half the Hail Mary and half the Our Father. See whether I can do that next year. Then we can have four dialects.